I want to review something that we've talked about a long time ago, but I don't know how many of you were here when we talked about it. So, and it has to do with the work of the Holy Spirit and what grace really means. Throughout the scriptures, a standing water, like the ocean or a lake or something, is a symbol of the human race. The sea, the ocean. And it's an excellent symbol because that's what the human race is doing. They're in the ocean and they're swimming. Now, if you're in the ocean, you must either learn to swim or learn to float, or you'll sink and die. And so that's what life is about in this metaphor. If everyone was in a vast ocean, all would drown sooner or later. You couldn't keep floating of your own strength, or you couldn't keep swimming of your own strength. You would eventually die. Just like the human race does, it eventually dies. Now, good swimmers last longer and get it better and lead the pack. But eventually, Olympic swimmers drowned also. Now, this is all the same as the law. The strong manage to keep the law for a while, and they scorn early casualties. God loves early casualties, early failures. Because grace is like the raft that's fully equipped floating in the ocean. Once you get out of the ocean and stop the swimming, you just climb on the raft. Well, that's all salvation is. Once you get on it, you just relax. In quietness and in confidence, you will be saved. Now, your life changes then from this quest for survival to one of just being spontaneous on the raft. But you see, your foundation has changed. But at the moment, if you've spent a lifetime in the ocean, living by strength and judgment, and you climb on the raft, then for a while you're going to be like this weird guy, because everybody else is just used to, the people that have been on the raft for a while are used to just having stuff served. But you're used to fighting for everything. But anyway, on the raft, eventually life changes from one of survival as its basis to one of spontaneity and joy as its basis. And you enjoy limitless possibilities as long as you recognize that you're on that raft. And those thrashing about in the water will resent the raft and the people that are on the raft. The raft is only for those who swallow their pride and give up survival, the survival game. Now, grace means that the Lord Jesus lives in us and wills in us and does in us his good pleasure. Prior to that, we solve problems by figuring out what's right and what's wrong, what's the right way to do it and what's the wrong way to do it. When you have something that's a need that you are in front of, then you spend your life trying to figure out how to get it. Or you have an ambition, you try to figure out how to get it. What you're really doing whenever you're trying to figure out something is you're going, is this right or wrong? Right or wrong? And it's an infinite number of choices between those two, right and wrong, right and wrong, right and wrong. Now, that's all you've taught to do that from the beginning. You've taught to judge for yourself right and wrong. That's what problem solving is. No matter what kinds of names you put on it. Now, what we know now is that all the people that live, and you, when you're in that dimension, you're barking up the wrong tree. You're barking up the tree of the tree of evil and good, of good and evil, as opposed to the tree of life. Now, if you have two people One of them, eventually, what they're going to have to do, one of them, if he's in the eating the tree of life, he has to, at the bottom line, he has to solve his problems by assigning blame.
Tree of evil and good.
Yeah.
Oh.
If you're eating or still in the game of swimming, or you're on the game of, was the other metaphor of you're barking up the wrong tree, at the bottom, at some point in your in any given piece of your life, you have to solve your problems by assigning blame
To others.
outwardly.
Yeah. No, not necessarily others. It can be
But I mean,
the
not
cause.
it's not
That's the
me.
thing.
Yeah,
I didn't do
you. But right, it's
anything.
assigned outwardly. You understand that?
Sure do.
Okay. Now, the other person standing right next to you has the same exact scenario, but he's eating of the tree of life. That's his food. He never has to assign blame and never will. They look the same, the stimulus is the same, everything's the same. Do you understand? That's why to assign blame means to justify yourself. And that's why God said, or in Christ in God said, you are they that justify yourselves among men. All right. If you live in this world where you're assigning blame, you will be caught in the game here. And the moment you're caught, every time you go through something where you've assigned blame, you will find bitterness beyond bitterness. The moment you're caught, you can be caught by yourself, or you can be caught by preaching, or you can be caught by exhortation. But once you're caught, that becomes a critical horizon in your life. You will never leave here unless you're caught assigning blame. And you will never stay here unless you stop assigning blame. You understand? You won't stay, you won't abide, it's impossible to abide if you still remain in the game of assigning blame. You can't stay here. Not that you shouldn't or won't. When you are when you assign blame here as a part of the body, you will be caught at it.
The bitterness part, I guess, is really.
And when you're caught at it will produce bitterness in you. And when the bitterness comes in you, then you will be faced at that point with a gap or a and it'll either be that I will have to leave or I will have to repent.
Is it at being found out, or the bitterness because you can't,
The
or it's
bitterness,
not that it's someone else's fault?
it's neither one. The bitterness comes, it's the fruit of the tree. It's unavoidable. You may try to make the bitterness look sweet, but it won't work. It's the fruit of the tree of knowledge.
This is something that I find myself doing all the time with Jackie. It's like the things that I can't accept the responsibility, or that, I mean, I won't see that it's just me that I failed, and then it's like I have to find some other reason. I have to blame her, for what I'm not, and sometimes it's not her. Sometimes it's just, things weren't right, or I fucked up. If I had done this, then.
Yeah, the assigning blame. You can. This one's tricky because what you do is you assign blame to yourself, thinking that you could have done it better. If you do that, then you're not really. Then it's the same thing as assigning blame externally. But the reason that this process is inexorable is that this is the only thing that will bring you to true repentance. It's what you'll call suffering. But in the metaphor of the ocean or the sea, what you've done is you've floated in the raft for a while and then you've jumped off and decided you're going to swim. And it's really stupid to try to swim.
Yeah, from the perspective of that metaphor, I just can't, there's no reason you would ever jump back into the water.
Right. Now, again, if our minds see correctly, there's no reason for us to be in a state other than joy and spontaneity, no matter what the external conditions are. Do you understand that? Now, the world would call being in the same position that you may be in at that time suffering, and your flesh may call it suffering. But it's not, because you see through it. That's why you can glory in tribulation.
So the word, suffering is like a big...
Suffering is antagonism.
Okay, because I was going to say, it's a big focus for, for the people who say they are believers or whatever, and yet what you just said is that, correctly seen, suffering isn't suffering.
Right.
Suffering is actually the only focus for everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Really.
You just, wait a minute, in the middle of that, you threw in true repentance.
Trying to get out of it.
And every time you said to me, you can't repent, you're incapable of repentance, I've always, until just now, I've always heard that as something to do with some kind of a thing to do, and I didn't even know what the thing was. But did you just animate the true repentance is nothing more than
climbing on the raft.
See correctly.
Yeah.
Open your eyes, wake up, and see correctly.
Climbing on the raft. Because otherwise, it's just repentance of the world, which is regret.
Yeah. Just to understand.
Yeah, all of the things that we talk about are just words that man has invented to describe a state of being. Mm-hmm. And when we, I don't care if you talk, the state of salvation is the state of repentance, is the state of abandonment, is the state of joy, is the state of happiness, is the state of fulfillment, is the state of pain, is the state of suffering. There's only one state. You understand that? Because we're seated in the heavenlies. There's only one state. All of the different things are only this vessel's way of trying to describe the same happening from a different perspective.
Yeah.
It's trying to describe the elephant by sticking your hand in and a little hole and feeling of it. And then finally to see, okay, now once I see it, I've ripped through the veil, now I see the elephant. But you all know, you've had 1,000 experiences where you've tried, you've heard something and you've tried to correct that.
Yes.
That's why when you, I say again, I say to you, if you ever hear me say to do anything, then you've heard incorrectly.
It's a great analogy with the elephant and the boring man.
But please think about it in terms of every time you feel like you're in a state of angst, I suppose is the right way to put it. All it means is, if you perceive yourself in that state, all it means is that you've gotten off the raft. And you're back trying to swim again. And once you get on the raft, then you can glory in the tribulation. So it's just a matter of, and you don't even have to climb back on the raft. You just, it's like a magic thing. You just have to see yourself on the raft, and you're there. That's why Christ said things like, they just planted the wheat. And he said, he looked out in a stupid field that's just been planted, and it looks like a bare field. A bare, just dirt. And he said, say not that they are yet 4 months under the harvest, but look out and see, the harvest is white. You never look at the process, you look at the completion in your mind. And by that process, by the process of looking at the completion, your mind is renewed. You never look at the thing. Amen. Okay, that's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. Everybody, are we set on... No, wait a minute, wait a minute. No, we're not. No, we're not set.
Wait. Stop. By looking at the completion, that's the way your mind is renewed.
Right.
Okay, this is not saying the Lord's Prayer in reverse. This is not imaging something and accomplishing.
No, because it's thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth.
This is simply saying that God is telling the truth. God has told the truth.
And it's finished.
It's finished.
Yeah, you can't image something that's already...
It's not, I want a 1959 Cadillac convertible.
That's nothing to do with it.
Well, Sam.
No, other
time
people are
here.
Okay.
Oh, Mary.
Anybody got anything else?
I'll put Ed down here for dry spaghetti.
Yeah, I told
you. Take a big guy.
Dry spaghetti.